This is the Coronation Podcast.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone, and you're welcome to another episode of Coronation Podcast. My name is Abiola Bishmore, Group Head, Affluent Banking, Coronation Merchant Bank. And with me is Kayode Akindele, CEO, Coronation Capital.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for honoring our invite. Our topic for today is when success becomes complex, managing wealth, family, and business. And Kayode, in today's world, I realize that most businesses are built on a good value system. Everything is working out well. They are successful. Financially, everything is okay. But I realize that most of the owners, they depend on the business. Their day-to-day living is on the business. Their income source on the business. Investment plan, retirement strategy, everything is on the business. They do not know how to separate, or they don't know they're even supposed to separate the business from their own personal finances. You've been in the business and you've been advising families and advising businesses. I would want you to expatiate on the topic. How can we actually separate our businesses from our personal finances? And at what stage? Is it at the beginning of the business, when the business is moving, or at the point of retirement? At what point do they have to actually separate the business?
Okay, I think there are a couple of things. I think firstly is most businesses are not successful. Most businesses fail. So the ones that are successful are the ones that are done well. And those businesses normally have a very good owner, a very good business they push through. Now, in terms of separating personal from businesses, it really should be done at the beginning, especially if you have a plan to grow your business into a bigger company. You should really split from the beginning, because it's easier to do from the beginning because it's less complex. I think as the business grows and if the thing is commingled, that separates all those things out. It makes it more difficult and expensive, both from a finance perspective and a tax perspective. So if you haven't done it already, there's no time to start now and use experts to make sure you remove that from the business. That doesn't mean you still don't earn from the business. Obviously, your source of income can still come from the business, but you just make sure that it's documented and regimented. So you pay yourself a salary. While that salary covers your expenses, it covers things you want to do, and the business can afford it, it's very clear that this is your salary and it's separate from the business of cash flows. So it's very important to do that early.
Okay, so for example, the business will pay me my salary. What if at the point of the business or at the point of separation, some things were not taken into consideration? Like, okay, I'm a banker. I have my package. There are some things that everything on my package is there. So what if as a business owner, while the business is progressing, there are still some things that I need to do. They are not on my package. How do I go about it?
Like in any other business, if you treat yourself as an employee of the business, you have a salary review. And so you just do a salary review. If you want to look at increasing the package, obviously, if the business has grown, you want to look at increasing your salary or your package, you do a review. And you review, and you can increase the salary as long as the business can afford it. And you're able to do analysis so that the business can afford it. But no one is saying that you should not get more out of your business if your business is growing. It does actually be in a documented way. And it should be segregated from the business cash flows, because you want to treat the business as a separate entity. And it's difficult for a lot of people, because people, they tie in their personality, they're into their businesses a lot of the time. And if you look at some of the big businesses, we know them by they're named after the people. Like Dangote is named after him. And so he's really tied into him and his family. And so it's very difficult. But for professionalizing the business and ensuring that the business can grow to the extent it can, you need to separate personal flows from the business flows.
Okay, so how do we go about separation?
I think the good thing is that there are lots of specialists you can bring in place. Most businesses, you should have a lawyer, a good lawyer, a good accountant, and probably a good banker as well. And they can help you that from the legal, the finance, and just from the whole accounting, how to split your personal from the business. They can help, they can run you through that. And by using those kind of people and specialists, it makes it as painless as possible.
Okay. Now there's a separation plan. the business has been separated from my finances. So how do I build my own portfolio?
And that's the beauty of it, because now you can look at your own portfolio as a standalone, and you can look at various different things. Because in essence, when you're investing through a business, the way a business invests is different from the way you invest. The way a business invests is not wealth preservation or even wealth accumulation. A business, every naira goes back into the business, it's recycled, you must move fast, must make quick decisions, you must do certain things. If you want to build wealth, you can't think that way. You're trying to build wealth, you have to make considered decisions, you have to look at diversification. If your business flows will go straight into what that business is doing. When you're trying to build your own wealth, you need to diversify. So don't put everything, all your eggs into one basket. So it's very key that once you split that, you now look at your own personal portfolio. You now set your targets, you now set your risk appetite. What's your risk appetite? What sort of things are you willing to invest in? What sort of things are you not willing to invest in? How much money are you willing to lose? And in that prospect, and once you set that risk appetite, it's very often, preferably with an expert, you can now start building a portfolio that meets your targets and risk appetite.
Okay, thank you. So, for the business, I've separated the business. I want my business to be a going concern. It should move across generations. How do we go about that kind of conversation?
It's estate planning. And the danger a lot of people have is that they think the estate planning should wait until I'm old. And we also have a cultural issue in Nigeria, especially. People don't like to talk about death. They don't like to talk about wills, anything too early, because they say, you're trying to plan my death. But you need to plan from the start, because there are tax implications, there are family implications, there are financial implications. So it's very key that as early as possible, you start doing estate planning. And luckily, there are lots of specialized firms that help with estate planning, especially law firms, trustees, and they can help you plan for the estate, because you know, okay, what is your plan for the next generation? What do you want to do for succession? Who do you want to do to come in? Is it going to remain a family-run business? Have you identified your successors within your family? Or are you going to do a listing as a liquidity event and list on the exchange? Provide that. So you can then plan towards that. And it's never too early to start. Because once you start, you can always change your plan as you go along if circumstances change. But it's always good to start from there.
Okay, so for this separation, the family conversation, is it the same thing as family office?
It can be. A family office, in reality, a family office should only come into play when you have $50-60 million of family wealth. Anything less than that, the cost of the family office does not make it effective, because you find your costs are too high for running a family office, because your family office has experts. You have lawyers, you have accountants, you have investment experts, or who get salaries. So unless you have a sizable pool of wealth, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't mean you cannot do family planning. Family planning and family office are two different things. So you can still do family planning. Even with your 1 million naira, you can still do family planning as to, okay, what happens if I'm not there anymore? What happens to my assets? Who gets what? How do I plan for my children's education if anything happens to me? How do I plan for my spouse? All those things can be done through family planning.
Family planning, yes. which is different from family office.
A family office incorporates family planning, but in a more structured and more expensive sort of structure in that sense. And it's only if you have sizable amounts of wealth that it's cost effective. Otherwise, just doing normal family planning, which can just be will, estate planning, with a trustee or a law firm, can be done at a more simpler cost.
I've been seeing family office, and I realized that most people in Nigeria, just a few people have family offices.
Because just a few people are wealthy. You need a certain amount of wealth, as I mentioned. And the danger you can do is you try and, because you hear Mr. A has a family office, you too want to set up a family office because it sounds like the in thing to be doing, but you can't afford it. And so that's why it's normally $50-60 million. You have roughly around that, then it can't make sense to have a family office for your own. There's another structure for family office. You can have family offices that deal with multiple families. So you can have one family office that has like maybe 5 or 6 families. So they share the cost of that family office.
For the family office.
So people do that. It's not...
And you don't have to be related.
You don't have to be related, but in essence, you must have some core values. Do you follow? Are you in the same kind of business? or you have some a core investment or a value that makes sense from doing from that, because you're going to be sharing kind of similar stuff. And so the staff you hire, you must all grow into the fact that this staff is someone that's going to follow your ethos in that sense.
Okay. And when we want to start the separation, definitely I'll need to have a relationship with my bank. So what's the role? Who in the bank am I supposed to relate with if I want to actually have?
It depends. Are you related to the bank on your business, or are you related to the bank on your personal front? If it's on your business, probably corporate banking. Before you have a corporate banker, corporate relationship manager, corporate banking to deal with your business. It's for you personally, it's normally private banking. People go to private or affluent banking and they do their personal banking through that.
Okay, so what role does a personal banker or the affluent banker, what role does that person play in this setup?
I mean, the role of a banker is not to sell product in private banking or affluent banking. It's not to sell product. I think the people get that mixed up. The banker is actually a very intimate role, because the banker is supposed to know everything about your personal, because then they can pull things together. Because if a good private banker can coordinate your lawyer, can coordinate your accountant, and coordinate everything there, because they know the whole picture of your finances and what you're trying to do. And so that's where real private banking comes in. And you find that in a lot of institutions, both locally and abroad, someone who uses a private banker in an institution, normally after some time, will poach that private banker to become their own personal private banker for their family office, for example, because they build that relationship. And that banker knows what their investments they want to do, their ethos, what they want to do in terms of succession. And so it builds that relationship. So that's what a private banker really is supposed to do. A private banker is also know inside out what you want to do in terms of investments, estate planning, and then be able to bring together specialists in different areas and help coordinate that aspect of it. So your entire financing needs should be handled by that private banker.
Okay. So before we come to an end of this podcast, there's something called the liquidity trap. I would want you to just give an overview of it.
The danger we have is that you run a business. I mean, you run a very successful business. But that business, like for example, if you run you have a factory and you are the biggest shareholder in the factory, you own like 90% of the shares. You have shares in that factory. Now, if that factory is not listed, the valuation of that business could be, let's say, 10 billion naira. But that valuation is based on the shares in that company, but it's not listed. So on paper, you have 90% of 10 billion naira, but you don't have liquidity. Can you use it for anything? Can you buy anything? Because it's all tied into that business. And that's a liquidity trap where people are asset rich, but cash poor. And it happens to a lot of businesses, especially in Nigeria, where they have significant assets. Especially in real estate, people have massive estates, massive amount of houses, and but they don't have cash because they can't sell those houses either through family restrictions, or you have to find buyers to actually sell to make that kind of liquidity. So they find that on paper, they're very rich, but they don't have money. For example, your favorite topic, private jets. They don't have the cash to buy the private jets, but asset-wise, they have it. And so that's why it's very important to kind of split your personal from it, because then you can start building liquidity through your personal business. And then you can start planning and ensure they have the liquidity there. And then part of succession planning is also trying to create a liquidity event, either you list your company or you sell to a PE firm or sell to another investor, provide liquidity to your business. And so that's why the importance is of that.
Okay. From all the explanation you've given, can you just give me three things our listeners will leave this podcast with?
Okay. I think one is separate. As soon as you can, separate your business from your personal. I think that's key. I think we've mentioned that. Especially with the new tax laws, it's very important. I think two is document. Whatever estate planning, what you're paying yourself in terms of your business, document it. I use lawyers, trustees, just document that to make things easier. And the third thing is diversify. your business itself, as a sole owner of your business, is one big concentrated risk. And so you want to be able to have a portfolio that's diversified from that concentrated risk. And so that's why you have your own personal portfolio that is separate and you can invest in there, so that you're not tied totally solely to the success of your business in terms of your personal life.
So you just need to separate the business for your personal life. Thank you so much for your time. Very insightful. I really enjoyed the session. And to our viewers, I'm sure you enjoyed the session too. For further clarification, contact us at Coronation Merchant Bank, and we are always ready to support and advise you. Thank you.
This is the Coronation Podcast.